Hello, I'm Raven, and this is
Trevor.
And today we're going to be talking about what it's like to date Trevor Everts from Smosh.
Okay. All right.
Welcome to Yap Time. I'm going to tell all of the embarrassing stories, and you're just going to know exactly what it's like to date Trevor.
Yeah, this is going to be big. We kind of talked about it in the last episode, wanting to do it, and we decided why not do it now? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is an easy episode for me because I could talk about this forever.
Yeah, we're like first impressions, like yes. Early dating stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to hear your first impression of me. I feel like as a girl, we always want to hear like, okay, but when you saw me for this first time, what did you think? So I'm excited for that. But for now, I think I'll start.
Please.
All right.
I'm so pumped to hear this because I feel like I've heard you say things here and there, but I'm excited to just have it all laid out. You need to be brutally honest.
Yeah, I'm actually scared that I'm going to be too honest. I don't want anyone to think like, oh my God, why is he dating her? She's so mean to him. But just disclaimer, the first impressions were not good. Okay, so where did it start? Once upon a time, I was not living in LA and you were living in LA and I had a friend who was spending some time in LA. That friend was also a coworker of mine. And you went to an OTV party.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what OTV is, it's like a streamer group.
Yeah.
So you went to like an industry party, basically.
And I'm pretty clouded. It was a pretty clouded party. Only the coolest of the cool were there. I think that's an important story detail.
Uh-huh.
So continue.
Okay, so he was there and also my friend was there. And you guys just ran into each other. You met there and you became friends.
So drunk.
So yeah, feel free to give details. I wasn't there for this.
No, it was really funny because I did. So I met Alec and Billy at this party and it was the end of the party. So I'm meeting them when I am, the party was sponsored by a soju company and they were doing like soju cocktails, but I just went up and asked if I could have a bottle of soju. So I was just drinking I probably had like two full bottles of soju at least.
Uh-huh.
End of the party. I was very drunk at this point. And that's when I met them.
No, and I get it. Like, soju is so good. If you haven't had soju, it's so dangerous. It's like a way better Smirnoff choice or something like that. It was just juice.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Trevor's wasted. I'm sure my friends are pretty lit as well, but you befriend them. Mm-hmm. You become really good friends. Can I mention that you were taken at the time?
I was taken at the time,
okay,
yes.
So Trevor was in another relationship at the time. And they all become pretty good friends, I think. At this point, I'm trying to get to LA, so I'm fighting for my life for a job. But during that time, you all like get pretty close, I think, and are hanging out. And then when I moved to LA, I get into the habit of also drinking soju. Me and my friends from 100 Thieves, we started really enjoying going to this Korean gastropub. They have amazing food and soju. And so we were doing that a lot. And then one day, Alec, the friend that Trevor met at that party, he was like, hey, like, I have this friend, like, he would be, like, he should come hang out. He's super funny. And this is, like, probably the fourth time I've heard about you or something. Because on multiple occasions before this, actually, Alec would be like, hey, do you guys want to come get food with Trevor and his girlfriend? And then he's like, yeah, it's, like, Trevor from, like, Good Mythical Morning. And, okay, I'm not a YouTube person, so this means nothing to me. Like.
Yeah. You're just clout checking me without even meeting me.
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be like a, hey, like this guy's in the industry, he's pretty cool, like come meet him. But I was like, I literally don't care. Like, I didn't. I was like, okay, some guy and his girlfriend, like why? Like, I don't want to go get hot pot with you guys. Like, sorry.
Fair enough.
And so time after time, you and I just like almost meet, but we don't, which is really interesting.
And it's so funny because at this point as well, you know, in the world of Twitter, like, because we're mutuals with so many people, I, like, knew who you were. Like, I'd like, seen your Twitter profile. I'd seen your tweets before. Like,
I'm literally more famous than you.
I knew, like, that you existed as a person.
Right. No, and that makes sense. Because if you know Alec, like, we were part of the same, like, quote-unquote internship program at 100 Thieves. And that's, like, a gaming thing. And you're, like, a gaming nerd. So I could see, like, why all of the interns probably came up on your feed because you knew Billy too, who was also an intern. And also something worth mentioning is I was super playing Valorant at the time. Like, that was everyone's favorite game. And I just feel like Trevor and I would have met at some point. This is not the point of the podcast. I'll move on. But anyways, there's just like so many ways we were destined to meet each other. But it so happens on this one night, while we're all drinking soju, and Alec is there. I'm sitting next to Alec, and Alec's friend is just like super late, but it's like whatever. Like, I don't know this guy. Like, he'll get here whenever he gets here. And then so into this Korean gastropub walks in this tall, lanky white man.
Yeah. And this is funny too, because I almost didn't go.
You were so late.
I was really late. I think, I don't remember what day it was, if it was like a Friday or something. Like, I might have been coming from work. And I think that I was very on the fence about going, because I also didn't know anyone there other than Alec. He just invited me. And I was, I was not super like myself at the time either. So I almost didn't go. But lo and behold, I Ubered on down there.
Yeah. Just against all odds.
Against all odds.
Once again. So we end up meeting. You probably just say hi to everyone at the table. You sit one chair away from me, so I'm sitting, and then to my right is Alec, and then to Alec's right is Trevor. So I don't really get to talk to you, actually, for the beginning, like most of it. While we're all like starting to drink or continuing drinking and like eating and stuff. And then just at one random point, Alec gets up to go to the restroom, and then Trevor just hops over.
I slid over.
Insert the riz.
It was an intentional slide,
which is so funny because I hadn't met you. It's so funny. I wasn't sure if that was like I want to talk to you or like just friendly. I guess at that point you can't assume anything.
Yeah. I also like, this wasn't a setup. At least not a verbal like spoken. It wasn't like Alec was like, hey, there's this girl I want you to meet or anything like that. Like, it was just like, I just showed up and, you know, I was into the soju. I was into the barbecued pork belly.
Oh yeah.
And steamed egg. Mm. And, you know, I was loosened up and I was like, yeah, I'll scooch over. I'll get more in the middle. Because I was over on the edge.
Yeah, you were on the edge.
So I slid in.
Yeah, and then, so funny, Alec comes back from the table, and it's just like, he gives me like a look like, what the heck? Like, he's kind of like, why did he move? But then I think he probably taps you. I think I remember this, and is like, hey, you took my chair, man, and you just kind of like stay.
Yeah.
You just kind of stayed there. Super fun. We're all deciding that it's time to move to the next thing. And so we all are like, man, we want to keep hanging out, but we don't want to, like, I don't know, go to a bar or something. And so a coworker of mine is like, oh, you guys can come over to my house. And he has like a couple of roommates. It's like a nice little situation with the TV and like, I don't know, it's just like a good hangout house.
Yeah.
And so you've never met these people. I get into an Uber by default with you and Alec. You're in the middle. We're all in the back seat. The strange man to my left and then Alec on the other side of the car.
Strange, cool, strange man.
And
Riz.
Trevor starts conversing with the Uber driver about Pitch Perfect. I don't even remember why.
Here's the thing. I don't remember this. You say that and I have zero recollection of the conversation.
Yeah, you were a really big advocate of Pitch Perfect. You were just saying how it was one of the best movies. And like Pitch Perfect, I don't remember exactly your commentary, but you had commentary about the Pitch Perfect movies, and you were talking to the Uber driver about this. And okay, my first impression here, I'm like, why is this guy obsessed with Pitch Perfect? I'm like, this is kind of crazy.
Incredible films.
Incredible films. Is it like top five?
I'd say number one is in the top five, number two and three are not. They really fall off. I can get into it here. Do you want me to get my pitch?
That's fair. No, we watched them and I have to agree. Yeah. But anyway, so we get to this guy's house and we're all just like on the sofa, couple chairs. We're like trying to figure out what to do. I don't know. You know that weird vibe where like you're with friends and it's like nobody really knows what to do.
Yeah.
Well, Trevor knows what to do.
I knew what to do.
He grabs the remote. Nobody knows this man. Nobody knows this man.
Alec knows me.
Alec knows you.
And also people think I'm funny and cool.
I don't know if that's true at this point. I think you start putting on the craziest YouTube videos. But you put on a couple crazy ones. Do you remember?
I don't remember. I remember the one that I distinctly remember that we talk about is Baba Yetu. But there were other ones and I don't.
Can you explain what Baba Yetu is to the class?
Okay. Baba Yetu is a Grammy award winning song composed by Christopher Tin.
Okay.
For the incredibly popular video game Civilization VI.
Okay, but can you describe the vibe?
So Baba Yetu is it is sung by I forget the name of the gospel choir, but it's the Lord's Prayer in Swahili. So it is a gospel song. It is the Lord's Prayer in Swahili, and it's incredible. But the reason that I know it is because our choir in high school sang it for a competition. We sang, Baba Yetu. You should go listen to the song and then imagine a probably 98% Caucasian Christian high school choir singing that song.
So fun.
Because it's fire. It's such a, I genuinely, it's such a good song. Grammy Award winning.
You know the song from choir, which is really good context because he knows every word. And he is not going to be afraid to show the class. He's going to start singing it.
I did that.
You're such a character. Honestly, thinking back on this, so funny because this is just like, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. You were really lit, I think.
I was.
Didn't you put on like a Katy Perry music video or was that us?
That was someone else. I wouldn't have put on a Katy Perry music video. I would have put on something weird. Another weird thing.
Okay.
Like
it might have been me who put on Katy Perry.
Yeah. And I was probably putting on Katy Perry?
Swish, swish. It's a really funny song. But yeah, so no hate on Baba Yetu, but it's just go watch it.
I can't sing. I don't want to get copied. It's an incredible song, though.
Just it's insane.
It is a work of art. Like, and I'm not even being like facetious. Like, I think it is genuinely an incredible song. But to be drunk coming from a Korean gastropub, going to a house of someone who I don't know with a group of people that I do not know, and me just putting on this song
at like 11 or midnight.
That's the context, and it's insane.
It's insane. Yeah. So yeah, that's who Trevor is to me at that point. I'm like, who is this crazy man? I don't know your sexuality, honestly, at this point. Everything's up in the air. And I'm like, I don't know who this man is. But Alec really likes you. And I'm like, okay, he's got to be cool. And then I think at that point, we go our separate ways.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I didn't. I went home.
Obviously. Or you went with Alec, I think, to watch a movie. You guys probably went to watch Pitch Perfect.
We went to watch a movie?
Like, yes, at his, like where he was living at the time. He was renting that place in someone's backyard.
I don't remember that.
No?
No, I don't think so. I think I went home, but I mean, at that point, I didn't have your phone number. I don't even know if we were mutuals on.
I think at that point we'd sent one message on Twitter.
No, because that was the first night I met you.
Yeah, no, and we messaged before that.
We messaged before?
Yeah, pull up the DMs. God. Yeah, I sent you, or no, you sent me a picture of Alec. That's his res. That's your original res. You just sent me a photo of my friend. And then I was like,
This is going to be so many messages. Okay, I'm going to just scroll and
you'll let me know when you get there.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep going because, yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to continue saying that because I know it's correct that you sent me a photo of my friend. And then that's how we started talking. And then we started kind of discussing that we would maybe meet over soju. Specifically soju. It was a soju time.
Yeah, it was. It was a big, okay. This is, okay, I'm February 13th, 2024.
Oh my God, okay.
So I'm getting back there. It should go faster though, surely. It was, it was a weird time. I mean, we don't really drink anymore.
No.
Like when we first met, we were both like, we were going out a lot more and like drinking.
Drinking socially is just, it's so easy, especially when you're kind of like awkward.
Yeah.
It's like really nice to get to, you know, your local gastropub and then just like throw back a couple shots and then suddenly you're like normal.
Yeah.
So definitely, I think I was doing that and I'm sure you were as well.
Yeah.
Did you find it?
I found it.
Okay, let's see.
November 29th, 2022. Okay. Let's pause here for a brief moment.
What?
I sent a photo of Alec. With zero context, he's holding up a soda and a thumbs up. And in all caps, you respond, okay, ? Next message in all caps, sick invite.
That makes sense. That's something I would say.
That shows interest. That shows that you were at least slightly interested. Looking back, that definitely, okay. And then I said, Alex said he invited you, but that you didn't want to come because you didn't know me. And then you said, that sounds like something I'd say, not even going to lie. And then you said in all caps, next time, with your little dancing emoji.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sent a couple.
The way you're like saying something and looking up at me like, I got you.
I did. I did get you. Because like the way that you make it sound is like, I'm just this random guy. And that I was kind of dorky. And you were like, well, I don't know anything about this. But you, I mean, sending it all caps, okay, sick invite.
Okay, I think you're mistaking my friendliness and my charisma for like flirting, maybe.
Okay, so that was okay, sure. No, that was November 29th. Then mm-hmm. November 30th, you messaged me and said,
this is scary.
You messaged me and said, do you drink soju?
Yeah.
And I said, only when I want to get absolutely blasted. And you said, okay, perfect. And I said, is there going to be soju somewhere? And you said, yeah, exclamation point, at the Korean pub on Friday. And then I said, huge.
Okay, big. I'm such a sweetheart.
Yeah, so that was like low-key, like you were clearly, you knew that I was going and you were excited about it.
No, we definitely, I knew that you were going that day. Like, this is something, Alec, you and I, like, made sure was going to happen.
Dude, that's crazy. Because I don't know why in my head, I just like, I forgot that that interaction happened like the couple days before.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, then at that point, maybe it was a setup, or at least maybe that's why I went in and I had the riz to slide over in the chair.
Well, I don't know that you knew. I didn't know until a while later. I mean, our friend Alec, like I said, he was here for the time. He lives in LA now, but at that point, he was just kind of being around for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember he needed someone to take him to ship his PC back, not the point. But I went and picked him up to do like some errands. And that's when we were talking about you. And that's when I found out that he was like low-key trying to mm-hmm. hook us up. But this is later. This is like after another meeting.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was like kind of intentional on his end. He did say at that point, before we were even dating, he was like, if you guys get married, like it's all me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And honestly, he was right. It is all him.
Yeah. He orchestrated that. We were like little pawns in his game.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. So then from there, we've had our night post Korean gastropub and soju.
Mm-hmm.
I've played Baba Yetu. We've gone our separate ways.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you at mentally now at that point?
I don't know. I think you're cute for sure.
That's so big.
I think the personality that maybe you were putting forward because we were all strangers wasn't my cup of tea at the time. Like it was like a little too like center of attention. Like your willingness to take over the living room and like that whole situation is mm-hmm. typically not my type.
Yeah.
I think usually for like someone more reserved, mm-hmm. which is I think who you actually are.
I will say though, like I think that's where I've gotten into trouble and why I don't generally drink too much anymore. Mm. Because in social situations where I feel uncomfortable, mm-hmm. like I have had a bad habit in the past of over drinking.
Mm.
And then I think when I do get really drunk, I think that side of me is, I think it's a real side of me
mm-hmm.
to be like a little bit crazier and maybe a little bit like, I think I'm just more unrestricted. And like you see me when we're, you know, in the privacy of our own home,
mm-hmm.
how I am fully unrestricted around you mm-hmm. all the time.
Yeah.
But I think that side comes out.
Yeah.
Around people when I'm, when mm-hmm. I'm, after I've been drinking. So
that is so interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I feel like when you are really, really close with a person, or in love, like I've mentioned this with you, it's like you get to be like your true self.
Mm.
Like my inner child definitely comes out the most with you than ever, like mm-hmm. anyone else. But it's funny how you kind of have to let that out over time.
Yeah.
Because off rip, it can be a little overwhelming.
Yeah. And I also am like also reserved. I'm not like always insane, but I am, I would say I'm a fairly reserved person, probably more people think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. But at the time, again, I'm just pretty mellow, I think. And
mm-hmm.
at the time, I don't know if you were on my radar, like romantically. I
yeah.
Okay.
No, now looking back, the fact that I sent you a photo of Alec unprompted, like uh-huh. means that I wanted to talk to you and that you were, even if I didn't know it at the time, mm-hmm. you were on my, I was
that's
probably
so cute.
I had a little crush on you. I would have not sent you a DM if I wasn't like,
yeah, No, and I guess that's, I think I knew that. I think, like, as girls, we know that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to explain. I think also at the time, this is before I started taking antidepressants, very hormonal. So I think my head might have just been somewhere else. Like, as a girl, okay? Like, I'm just saying. I'm just being honest. Shut up.
You thought I was hot.
I don't know.
You thought I was hot, and you're like, I don't care if he's a weirdo. I don't care if he's a weirdo. I'm trying to see that rockin' bod.
Oh my God.
That's what you were thinking? That's crazy that you just admitted that to everyone on the internet.
I think that's okay to admit. Are you slut shaming me?
No. I mean, it makes sense. Look at me. Look at me.
Your mug.
My mug.
And your fidget spinner on your belly.
Okay. You have a fidget toy.
You gave me this.
You, because you have another fidget toy.
We don't need to go into this.
Okay. All right.
I think it's okay to admit that I was a woman in her early 20s.
Of course. I want to say, like, preface this. You didn't know anything about me, so all you had to go on was how I looked, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, at that point. Like, I feel like that's a reasonable thing to be like, I've met him once. He's, like, kind of funny. He's a little bit crazy, but, you know, I'm attracted to him. Like, I think that's very reasonable.
Yeah. It's so interesting hearing you lay it out like that, because I don't think I was having, like, that concise or, like, eloquent of a thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was just like, hey.
Fair enough.
We were kind of texting at this point, probably, with Alec, though, in a group chat. And so I was just like, okay, he's like, he's 6'4", ladies. So I was like, keep him around.
Yeah.
And then did we go to a holiday party or have lunch first?
We went to a holiday party.
First.
Yeah, because that was before. I mean, the 19th, I left the day after our first date to go to Idaho, remember? So the holiday party had to have been before that.
Well, all of these things were before that, no?
Yeah. Yeah, everything. So our like first date where we went.
No. Sorry. I'm talking about when we went with Alec for lunch.
Oh, when we went with Alec. Yeah, when we went to Yard House.
Was that before?
That might have been before.
Okay.
I think that might have been before. If that was probably in November.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because if that was, or like.
Yeah, I think it was after KBBQ. Honestly, it doesn't matter that much, but I did see him one additional time.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like before Alec left. He wanted to have lunch with you one more time.
Yeah.
And
then
so we all went, had lunch. It was really fleeting. And then.
Wasn't that when. Yeah, I thought it was dinner. I don't know. That's not important, but we.
Actually.
I'm like remembering. I'm like, I thought that was later in the evening.
It probably was. But yeah, I don't think anything significant happened at that point. You paid for all the food, which I thought was like really a flex. But it turns out you just like do that all the time. So I was like, okay.
That's so funny. Oh my God. That's so funny that that's the way you perceive that.
What?
That you thought that I was like trying to like flex.
No, not flex. I just thought like maybe you had like you were, you know, financially well off. Like, well off enough to pay for three people's dinner.
And now you're like, oh, but he's actually broke.
No, I later did realize, obviously, though, that you get that from your dad.
Yeah.
I think even if you probably shouldn't have been doing that, like, I think it's just like kind of like a nice habit, like a formality that you inherited.
It's something, yeah. My dad is like one of those people who's like, he never wants anybody to pay for any. Like, if he goes out to eat, he's like, I will always be paying for food. So that is definitely something I think that. I like to pay for food and stuff.
Yeah.
But
that was one of the first things I told you to stop doing when we started dating. I was like, you don't have to do that. You don't have to pay for everyone's food when we go out.
I don't do it all the time. I mean, it was the three of us. And I knew that I wanted to pay for Alec just because
I was just there.
And you were there. And I was like, well, I guess. No, I almost didn't come out that night either, though. I distinctly remember actually like being like, I don't think I want to go out. And then you came to Burbank for me.
Yes.
Because we were like, you guys were talking about a place to go. And then I was like, I don't know if I'm really up for it. And then Alec was like, what if we came up? Mm-hmm. And it was, I mean, the place we went was literally a block from where I lived. And so I was like, okay, I'll come.
Yeah.
But yeah. Then the holiday party.
And then the holiday party. So at this point, we're probably lightly texting. And then you message me and ask if I want to go to your company holiday party.
Yeah.
And for context for me, because I think most people would probably just say no, or I think I usually would say no, but I was not because of you, but because of the scenario, like going out to like a social event, mm-hmm.
But you thought I was hot, so.
Right. So I was like, obviously I need to go. No, but I was in like a situationship almost at the time with someone who just like sucked. And it was just, oh my God, that is a whole podcast. Like, I've never been cheated on, but this guy basically.
Dude, that's.
I'm friends with the girl now. Well, actually, I was friends with her. Wait, was I? No. Anyways,
this story's hilarious.
It brought us together.
That's actually a funny. Sorry, a little tangent. Mm-hmm. It's because I didn't know about that until like a while into us talking. Then like I didn't find out about like the overlap. I think there was more of an overlap than I thought at the time of like, because I knew that you were talking to a guy, but then I didn't realize that you talking to him like after we had kind of like started hanging out.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm definitely talking to him up until I think the day of the holiday party. Mm. I think the day of the holiday party is when I told him, because at that point, you and I obviously were hanging out with Alec, but then this was like a you and I thing. Mm-hmm. So I just like that morning, I was like, hey, we need to stop because I'm going to see my other options. I'm going to peruse.
Yeah.
So funny.
So then.
Anyways, so Trevor texts me and is like, hey, do you want to go to this holiday party? It's going to be at this time. He's like, it's both of the companies. It's going to be Smosh and like all the mythical entertainment or whatever. And I'm like, okay, like, yeah, sure, probably. And he's like, okay, but you have to go get a COVID test. I'm like, a COVID test? And he's like, yeah, not just like a regular COVID test. You have to go find those people in the corner who are giving like proper COVID tests and like get a proper COVID test and then send it over to this email so they'll let you in.
Yeah.
And it's like Tuesday or Wednesday or something before the Friday or Saturday of the holiday party.
Yeah.
And am I unemployed at this point? No, I'm not. I'm literally working. Yeah. But honestly, I barely did anything while I was 100 Thieves. So it's like the middle of the day. I just go and I get a COVID test and then I send it over, which again, it's just another thing that shouldn't have happened, but it
That's
did.
That's how hot I am. That's how hot I am. I asked you to come to a holiday party for people that with a group of people that you never met.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, you don't know anybody there. You barely know me.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go get a COVID test, PCR test. That take like a day to get the results back.
Yeah.
And you did it.
You caught me. We caught each other at like the perfect storm of just like everything in our life happening, right? Because I'm pretty new to LA. I'm like experiencing LA for the first time, going to like events and things for 100 Thieves. And it's all very like fun. And like I'm starting to drink with friends and stuff. And it's just like this perfect like concoction of F it, I'm down.
Yeah.
So when you asked me to go to this holiday party, I'm like, you know what? Like, it's in the industry. Like, maybe I'll make a good connection or something. You know, like there's people there that are like pretty important, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, why not just like network, you
Rhett
know?
And Link.
That's when I saw DJ Link for the first time.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I go and I don't know. That's, oh my God, wait, no, this is, well, I need to take a moment for the outfit. So you say that you're going to come pick me up. So you drive to my apartment all the way down. And then I'm wearing a really cute fit. I'll maybe insert a video, but I'm wearing a really cute fit. And I knew that you were going to be wearing a fur coat. And I knew that you had spent like the weekend or something. You went out like drifting for a cane. I knew that you wanted the cane. So I don't really know what to expect, but I'm like, okay, like this is kind of on par with Bobby Yetu, Trevor. I'm like, he's just kind of like, he goes above, you know, like he just likes a little flashy moment. And I'm like, we'll see what this is. But then I walk outside and I think that's when I decided I had a crush on you. Not because of the fit, but because you were in your Doc Martens, and I don't know how much taller they make you, but you were so tall and literally standing next to you. I was like, this is awesome.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got like the big Docs with like
the chunky ones,
the chunky heels. They probably give me an extra like at least 2 inches.
Oh my God. At least.
At least. Probably like 2.5. I mean, I'm definitely over 6'6" with those on.
Mm.
That was it.
Yeah. And then you smelled really good. You were standing on the curb and like I kind of like was standing right next to you because we're waiting for like our lift or something.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, your fit was crazy.
I was tall and I smelled good. And that's when you decided you had a crush on me.
Yeah. Yeah. I honestly don't know that I knew before then.
Wow.
I think before then I was just like, hee hee ha ha. But I knew like, I was like, yeah, I just knew I had a crush on you at that point.
That's hilarious.
So I think you knew you had a crush on me at this point too, because at the party you're very like, you're holding my waist and like.
Was it like respectful or did it make you uncomfortable?
No, it was, okay. No, it was respectful. It was like, I remember we were sitting on like benches, like eating,
mm-hmm.
And then like you would just like kind of have your like your arm around me. It was very sweet.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. You're so cute. Funny
little side detail about this story that I don't know if you remember, but when we got to the place, we were standing in line to like get in, like check in, whatever. And Rhett and his wife are standing in front of us.
Mm.
And Rhett called you my ex's name.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, because he'd like, I think he'd met my ex once before or something. And he goes, and he called you her name. And then I was like, nah, dude.
I do remember this, but I don't remember. I mean, I don't think I would even notice that. But what he did say, he was like, I think we shook hands and you like introduced or something. And he was like, yeah, I've met you before. And you were like, no.
No, that makes more sense then. Okay, yeah. He didn't
it
call
might
you.
Have been.
I think no, because it would have been weird. Like, I don't think he knew her name.
Okay.
Like, I think they'd literally maybe met once before, like at something. But yeah, that's how it happened. He's like, we met before. And I was like, no, you haven't.
Yeah. Yeah, and I remember looking at you like, oh, this is like so funny.
Dude, we were laughing about that like literally recently. He was talking about that.
Really?
Because we were talking about how we got engaged and he's like, congratulations. He's like, it's still funny the first time I met her. Like, I thought that she was your ex.
Yeah. Well, in his defense, you were not single for very long.
No.
So it was very recent. It was a fair assumption from him.
Yeah.
And that's why I didn't like take any hard feelings from it, because I was like, I knew that it was more embarrassing for you than it was for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the first time I met Rhett. And then later that night was the first time I met Link, and he was in a cast at the time. He was trying to get his blazer on, but he had a cast on and he needed someone to like kind of drape the other side over his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me because I was next to him and I was like trying to get it good. You know, I was like, I can't mess this up. So I was really pulling his blazer over. And I think like on the second like tug, because I was trying to really get it over, he was like, he said, like, okay, that's good. Like, you're going to knock me over. Like, like, relax. And I was like,
that's so funny.
But yeah. Okay. So we're at the holiday party. Everything's good. We're definitely hanging out more as like romantic interests. And then, yeah. That's the night I met Damien, too.
Yeah.
Damien was such a sweetheart.
Yeah.
God, just seeing everyone. And I didn't know like Smosh or Mythical Kitchen at this time. Mythical. So you're just introducing me to so many people. And I didn't know any of them. But everyone was really, really nice. Oh, yeah. And that's the night I met like the Mythical Kitchen people before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember thinking V was like so intimidating. She had like these really long, beautiful braids.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, she was just like stunning. And I was like, oh, my God, these people were like really cool. But yeah.
And that's funny because that holiday party, I hadn't joined Smosh at that point. I mean, this is 2022. And so I really didn't know a lot of the Smosh people that well. The only people I knew were like Damien and Shane and Courtney and like Ian, but a lot of the newer cast members I didn't really know that well. So it was also like it was a funny holiday party for me too. I didn't know everyone.
Yeah. It was a nice holiday. Oh my God, that's when I discovered I love rice pudding. I had so much of that rice pudding. Wait, rice pudding? Bread pudding. I didn't know what bread pudding was, and you explained it to me, and I was like, so good, we have to get more.
Yeah, you're like, bread pudding? And I was like, yeah, it's bread but wet.
You're like, I'm a chef.
Yeah.
And then we decided to leave. This is really funny because I have a story from when we left. We were getting an Uber or a Lyft to leave. And it's so funny. Okay, so this place, when we go in, it's like one of those like cute kind of little, I don't know, just fancy little restaurants with like an outdoor area, but it's all gated in.
Uh-huh.
So like when you go in, you have to like check your ID and like there's a door, like a gate, like a metal gate. And so everyone's like really safe inside. But when you go outside, it's LA and it's a little scary.
Mm-hmm.
So we go outside and I don't know, we're both like probably a little tipsy. Just hanging out, waiting for our Lyft. I'm probably like doing a spin or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody's like kind of, what is the word? Like heckling?
heckling?
Like, kind of heckling you. And I was, like, a little bit scared. This person just keeps, like, yelling at you and, like hitting on you. And it was funny because you were really lit, I think. Like, I don't know that you were really even perceiving what was happening to you.
No, I wasn't.
But this person, and I literally thought they were, like, an unhomed individual on the streets of LA. And I was like, this person's probably on drugs or something. And, like, I'm trying to just, like, you know, not, I don't know how to explain. Like, when you're in a situation like that, you just, like, don't want to cause an issue. But I also, like, empathize and I respect with people like that so much that I'm just like, I don't want anything to happen. I just want it to kind of be over so that everyone's safe. And so this person is just, like, hitting on you a ton. And, like, I remember them going up to you, like, at some point because we're holding hands, or, like, I probably grab you something to, like, indicate we're together.
Uh-huh.
And they're, like, super wasted. They're just like, oh. And they're like, I see, like, you guys are together type motion at both of us. And this is so funny because it wasn't until months later, I think, that I realized they weren't an unhomed person. Because I didn't know any of the people at these establishments, but they were definitely someone from the holiday party.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they were, like, too wasted to even know what happened. It's so funny.
No.
So funny. I told this story at my last job. And
so funny. It's really funny, too, because I'm not, like, when I get hit on, I'm not, like, good at getting hit on. Mm. Like, I'm very much, like, in that situation, I was just like, I don't know what to do. Like, because I think I maybe, like, kind of picked up on it, but I was like, I don't know, like, how to respond or what to do. Like, so I was just, I think
it was, like, a crazy vibe. It was a crazy vibe because they were very loud. Yeah. And, like, we're out on the streets and, like, it wasn't quiet out there in general.
Yeah.
And then trying to, like, hail down our lifts, we're, like, looking and, like, it's a mess. But that was so funny.
Yeah. Okay, but my favorite part of the story is then going back to your place.
Ooh. Yeah, so we get back to my house and we decided to watch, like, YouTube or a video or something.
We watched a movie. This is something that I do, is I have movies that I really love. And then I made you watch, I think I made you watch The Other Guys.
I think I'm really bad at remembering movies, I couldn't tell
Mark
you.
Wahlberg and Will Ferrell.
I don't remember.
Okay. I'm pretty sure I made you watch The Other Guys because I think it's just, I don't know.
Probably. That makes sense.
Movie. Yeah. I love that movie.
Yeah. In that apartment, I have, like, an L couch.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we were both laying on, like, separate parts of the L couch. I think at some point, like, you definitely start to fall asleep.
Yeah, I think I laid my head, like, in your lap and I started to fall asleep. I'm pretty sure.
Probably, like, immediately. And so at this point, it's probably getting late if we watched a movie. Yeah, so it's, like, 2 in the morning, probably.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, when is this kid gonna leave? Honestly, a repeating trope of mine, I guess, me wondering when the men are going to leave. And so I have to, like, wake him up. I see that he's sleeping. I try to wake you up and I'm like, I don't know. Do you remember this? You might be able to tell it better than I do.
So I was incredibly tired. I was, like, that kind of tired because I wasn't, like, super, we didn't get, like, super drunk at the holiday party.
No. So, and you had a full day of work, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was exhausted at this point. We'd watched the movie and I wasn't, like, necessarily going back to your place under the assumption, like, oh, I'm going to stay over. But then I think in my head, once it was that late and I was already really tired, I was kind of like, oh, like, I just was like, I'll just sleep on the couch. Or I was, like, ready to just fall asleep on the couch. And you were like, you have to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't need to go in your room or anything. I was like, I'd be really cool. Like, I'm just, like, really tired. Like, and I wasn't drunk at this point, but I was like, you know, coming back from being drunk and really tired. So I was just like, I was very out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, no, like, you gotta go. You would not let me stay.
Mm-hmm.
And my phone was dead. Mm-hmm. And that was a big thing because I had my car there. So I had to drive home, but I didn't have my phone. So I didn't have my Google Maps. And that was the first time I'd been to your place and opposite side of Los Angeles. So I had no idea how to get home. So I literally looked up my address on your phone and I looked at it and I, like, read the directions, like, 3 times, just the list of directions. I was like, okay, I was like, go here, get on the 405. And I was just trying to memorize the directions on how to get home. And then you were like, all right, good luck. And I literally, you were like, text me once you're home. So I know like you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure you thought I, like, died or something, or got, because it took me like 20 minutes longer to get home than it should have, because I definitely went way past where I was supposed to get off, mm-hmm. like, and take my exit or whatever. And I ended up just having to vibe my way. Like, I went up the 405 and then I got to a point where I was like, I know that I'm not in the right spot. Mm-hmm. And honestly, looking back and remembering it now, I was so far off course. It's insane. And then I was like, okay, I know I just need to go to the right. Mm-hmm. And so I just took an exit and started driving to the direction that I knew Burbank was, mm-hmm. where I was like, I know if I keep driving this way, eventually I'm going to hit the end of the valley. Like, I'm in the valley. Mm-hmm. I know that I need to be on that end of it. I'm just going to keep going. But yeah, it ended up taking me like an extra like 20 minutes to get home. Yeah. And then I finally did and like charged my phone. And
I don't think I thought that you died because I didn't have a understanding of how far you had to go.
Yeah.
But I did stay up. I did wait for you.
You did. Yeah. No, and that was very sweet. And I got home and then, yeah, went to sleep. And you still wanted to go out with me after that.
I think I was a little bit annoyed that you were like so insisting that you would stay.
I was so, and it's funny because it wasn't even like, nah, I gotta stay. Like, it wasn't coming from a place of like, I want to stay over at this girl's place. Like, she doesn't want me to stay over. It was literally like, I was like, I don't know if I'll be able to get home.
Yeah.
Like that. But you wouldn't have known.
I know. And like hearing it back now and knowing who you are, I do feel a little bit bad.
Shouldn't.
But it was
you
like
did the right thing.
Yeah. I don't know. Your phone also, for context, he couldn't charge his phone from the normal port.
Mm-hmm.
He had to use, like the MagSafe charger.
Mm-hmm.
And so he could not charge his phone without a MagSafe charger.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was unable to help you at the time.
Yeah, my phone port was broken. Mm-hmm. So it like, yeah, I couldn't charge it.
Yeah, so there was no other option. And you were still a stranger to me.
Yeah.
So I got rid of you.
It's okay. I understand. I think you held your ground and you did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I just should have said that that there was a curfew. And I couldn't go back to the military base where I live. Be like, I have to stay here.
Oh my God.
And like, I'm going to be homeless on the street if you don't let me stay.
Oh my God, did that story shake you? You were like, how did that guy pull it off? But I couldn't.
No. Yeah, that was the holiday party. That was a crazy night. I definitely like was, I don't know. I think at that point, I definitely knew like that I was like, okay, I want, that was a date to me. Me, that was like you said yes to going to my holiday party, which is a pretty insane thing to do for like a second, almost like a first date.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah,
like unofficial, like it was the first time we'd just gone to something that was just us two and not like a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was a group event, but no, that was awesome. That was a good holiday party.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I got a little sturdy on the dance floor too.
Yeah,
you saw some of my moves.
You did go dance.
That was crazy.
Okay, but now it's your turn. Tell me your first impression of me.
Oh my goodness. Okay, well, I'm gonna we might have to do another episode on if I want to talk about my full first impression of you. Now I think that I knew pretty early on. And maybe it was just a vibe thing. Maybe it was the fact that the universe just brought us together in what seemed like the perfect time and moment and right way. Because like you said, there were so many opportunities for us to meet beforehand. But, you know, that would have been me meeting you while I was still in a relationship or something. Mm-hmm. Like, we really did meet at the perfect time of, like, I hadn't been broken up with my ex for long. And I maybe was not emotionally at a place where I should have been getting into another relationship, but I still think it was kind of this like perfect moment of, yeah, you were in a weird situationship that like you weren't really vibing with, and we met and it seemed like really great and fun and you were super cute and intimidating. I was scared of you a little bit.
Interesting.
You're just really cool.
I'm also like pretty straightforward, I think, is usually what my notes are from people. It's like, I'm pretty direct.
Yeah.
And I think that can be intimidating.
I think that you were really cool. And I thought that you were very cute, very cool. And I was worried. And I know it was an insane goofball, but I think that like, even in those moments, I was like worried. I was like, maybe I am like, maybe I got to cool it. Cause I didn't know what your vibe was. Cause you definitely didn't like, I think that I was kind of picking up on the fact that like you weren't, like this, like that I wouldn't be the type of person, I think, that you would normally want to go out with. I think that I picked up on the fact that I might not have been your type, and that, and so that was like a little bit scary to me because I was like, I was really into you. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I think early on, I thought you were like, annoyed with me. Or I thought that I annoyed you, I think. Like the way that I am and the things that I did. Because I think like you've obviously gotten a lot more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But it took you a while to open up.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a lot of time like where I think that I was trying to almost tone myself down a little bit probably.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, you've seen me. You've seen me now. And you probably remember at least once we started spending more time together and actually dating. Like I think I was still a goofball. But 100%. I think I've gotten goofier.
Yeah, it's almost like different kinds of goofy.
Mm-hmm.
Like now you're just yourself. I don't know how to explain it, but you're definitely right that I was like more reserved.
Yeah.
I find just that I am like when I'm talking to someone, and I think a lot of women do this probably, where there's kind of like a testing period.
Yeah.
Where there's like, I can't be myself until I know that it's like safe.
Mm.
Yeah. And it's not like a you thing. It's just like a me thing. So it's like I needed to like really make sure you were cool and not gonna, I don't know, try to date two women on the internet at the same time.
No, I wasn't trying to do that. that wasn't me. I one thing that early on did scare me, and it's, I don't even know if I've actually ever told you this. I think there were times early on when I wanted to say something, but I knew how insane it would have sounded.
Mm-hmm.
But looking back, you probably understand. I was very threatened by Osito.
Oh my God.
I, for a very long time, could not tell.
Osito, my dog. My 15-ish pound Pomeranian.
Mm-hmm. I was very threatened by him. Because you cared and you care about him so much. Mm-hmm. And he's like your baby. And I get it. He's been with you through everything, through all of your like moves and everything. Like he's literally your little child.
Yeah.
But I was very much like, it kind of hurt sometimes where I was like, you clearly care more about this dog than you care about me. And that was like hard sometimes where I was like, you care about him more than you care about me. God. And I was threatened by that. Like threatened, but it made me feel bad sometimes.
No. And I remember you did bring it up once, I think. Like it was probably, I don't know, morning, like we woke up or something, and I was probably giving Osito like a lot of love.
Mm-hmm.
Like just like cuddling him and snuggling him, and I think maybe you were just sitting there by yourself, and then you were like, I kind of wish you would like say good morning to me like that.
Yeah,
we're just so sweet.
Yeah.
And I think it's so adorable and precious and awesome that you were just able to say that, you know, because I feel like most people would just kind of harbor that.
Yeah,
that's like one of those little things that can fester.
Yeah,
you're just like angry every time I'm like snuggling Osito. But no, and it's something like now I'll be like,
yeah,
even just earlier today I was like, my two baby boys who are now two dogs.
Yeah.
And then you were like, okay.
I was in the kitchen and I was like, whatever, dude. Two baby boys.
Yeah. And I was like, my two out of three baby boys.
No, yeah. No, Osito is you love him. I love him too. Mm-hmm. But I remember even the first time that I got to take Osito out potty by myself, I was scared.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was genuinely terrified. I was like, that is your child. And the fact that I was going out with him on the leash, because Osito also took a very long time to open up.
Yeah.
Like he did not like me for a while. Mm-mm. He didn't want to come like say hi. He didn't even want me petting him for a while, which is so funny now because all he does is jump in our laps and want to be pet.
Yeah. He loves you.
But yeah, I remember that first time. It was like, I think I took like a billion pictures of him. I think I have probably like 20 pictures on my phone of Osito pooping the first time I took him out, because I thought it was so funny.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was scary. I'm pretty sure I came back in and I was like terrified. I was like, oh my God, we did it. I was like, nothing bad happened.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's probably my fault. I probably like fear mongered a little bit because again, I am super protective of him. Mm-hmm. And I'm very particular with how I do everything for him. Mm-hmm. And so I probably was very like, listen, X, Y, Z. And if this happens, then this, you need to do this. Mm-hmm. And very like, if anything happens, I'm going to freak out.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think most of my first impression of you is that like, I really liked you and I thought you were really cool. And I think I was more focused on like, I need to figure out how to not scare you away.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, because I think that's what I was worried about. I thought that you were gonna be like, this guy's too weird, or he's not cool like that. So
no, you did everything right. I was somebody who needed to be loved really hard, and you did that.
Oh.
You like loved the misery out of me. you
I love
smothered the trauma off of my mind.
That's crazy. I loved the misery out of you.
Yeah.
That's kind of like poetic.
Thank you. That's true. I'm a songwriter.
That was a bar.
No, but unironically, like, I'm serious. Like, I needed like a bright light. And do you wear that?
Oh, cry.
Well, you know this. We've talked about this.
I know, I'm still gonna cry.
Yeah.
No, it was definitely a weird start kind of to a relationship, like kind of through all of, I mean, even me like coming back and basically starting to live with you because we lived so far away and I didn't want to like drive as much. I just started staying at your apartment all the time. Like, it was not a conventional, we started going on dates weekly and then slowly, like, it was a weird.
We just wanted to hang out so bad.
Yeah. And we made it happen in all the ways that we could.
Yeah.
Really amazing.
Because I think it would have been really easy for me to be like, listen, it's going to take you too long to get here. It's too late. Like, can we push it to next week or something like that? But instead we were like, okay, what is the most crazy impossible thing we can work out to make this work out so we could see each other every night?
It took a lot of work. It was it took a lot of effort. I drove a lot of miles and a lot of hours because I was like, I want to spend time with you.
Yeah.
I want to see you during the week also, not just on the weekends.
Yeah.
But
lazy.
I love you.
You're
cute. Well, she didn't break up with me, everyone.
Yeah.
She stuck it out through the Baba Yetu, through the through the pimp outfit at the holiday party, through me almost passing out on her couch and then having to go on an adventure home, through, I don't know, all the other dumb, silly stuff I probably did that was probably a little bit off-putting at the beginning.
You know, one thing that was hard for me is that you loved phone calls.
Oh, I was a phone caller.
Mm-hmm. I know you're trying to do the outro, but I just want to throw that in there.
No, that's okay. I was a phone caller.
You're a phone caller, and that's so weird.
It's okay. I learned very early on, and it's so funny that to this day, if I call you on the phone, you have a different tone talking on the phone than you do.
Wait, what?
You have a different tone. It's like I can tell, like, when I'm just talking to you, having a conversation with you, versus when you're on the phone, you like talk differently.
What?
It like, I can hear the fact that you don't like being on phone calls.
That's so funny.
In your voice. And so anytime I call you, it's usually out of like necessity, like I'm driving and I can't text you. And then I'll just like try and do it as fast as possible because I'm like, I know you don't love phone calls.
That's so funny. Yeah. And you called me like every day when you left on vacation for that 10 days.
Yeah. I called you like every night.
That was hard for me.
Yeah. But you talked to me.
Yeah. Also, it did help that you did like 80% of the talking.
I do. I have talked. I have been known to talk, and I'll continue to talk. Not right now, though, because that's the end of the episode.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there's episode 2 of Raven Stories about Trevor.
Yeah.
Let us know if you want to hear more.
There's so many. Honestly, we could fill 100 episodes with all of the dumb stuff that you could say about me. So
I really could.
We definitely will be doing more of this. Thank you, everyone, for listening, for watching, wherever you are. Thank you to all the members. We appreciate you a ton. And yeah, just thank you for everyone for watching and hanging out. We're enjoying it. This is, you know, we're getting a few more episodes under our belt, and we're loving it. It's been really fun. So thank you for all the support.
It's been epic.
See
you next week.
See you next week.